Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Violence, destruction, and indiscriminate killing of civilians by Russian soldiers against its Ukrainian neighbor has entered its 13th day. Ukraine President Zelensky continues to defy Russian aggression and holds firm in the capital of Kyiv.
Here is Kyiv in the evening. I stay here in Kyiv at Bankova Street. I don't hide and I'm not afraid of anyone. I will stay here as long as it's necessary to win in our patriotic war.
President Biden has come under growing pressure from Congress and Ukraine to sanction Russia's oil industry. He's hesitated due to concerns about rising energy prices in America. Now, President Biden will announce Tuesday that the United States will ban all imports of Russian oil, natural gas, and coal in response to Russia's deadly aggression.
I want us to send our love and hope to our brothers and sisters in Ukraine.
Dolly Parton at the CMA Awards last night in Las Vegas. USA Radio News.
Extend your life.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The tornado that hit Iowa over the weekend was a big one.
The National Weather Service says a tornado that tore through an Iowa town and killed at least 6 people was an EF4. The National Weather Service saying the tornado was 800 yards wide, packed maximum wind speeds of 170 miles per hour, and was on the ground for nearly 70 miles Saturday afternoon. It's the first confirmed EF4 in Iowa since 2013. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
U.S. stocks slid nearly 800 points Monday to close in a correction as surging oil prices deepened concerns about inflation and economic growth. The surge in the price of oil past $130 a barrel Monday was triggered by the possibility the United States might barred crude imports from Russia. Oil prices steadied later in the day, but this morning, moderately higher prices are being seen. For more information, visit us online at usaradio.com. USA Radio News.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
In the last 30 days, gasoline has jumped in price faster than it has ever jumped higher before at 57 cents. As Russia continues its war across Ukraine, the Biden administration continues to put $75 million a day into Russia's pocket in the form of oil purchases. Republican Representative Greg Murphy from North Carolina on Newsmax is outraged.
You know, several things. This administration has been reactionary rather than preemptive during this entire process. We actually had a briefing of actually 5 weeks ago to talk about the crisis before it happens. And Secretary Blinken said, well, we'll do this if this happens. We'll do this if this happens. And the Republican monologue at that time is, why don't we do it before to help prevent some of these things? But what we're seeing, we really began this crisis the first day of Biden's presidency when he went over and cut out American independence of oil production. He shut down our pipeline. He stopped so much of our drilling on federal lands. And he, in essence, has enabled Vladimir Putin to do what he is doing today. He fed a war machine to the tune of, you know, $75 million. And then with what happened in Afghanistan, you know, that further emboldened Putin turned to his generals and said, look at how weak America is. Pull that invasion plan off the shelf and let's get going.
Queen Elizabeth II held an audience with Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau on Monday in her first-person engagement since recovering from COVID-19. In all, the Queen has visited Canada more than 20 times over the years. Lance Pry, USA Radio News.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
855-525-7448. 855-525-7448. 855-525-7448. That's 855-525-7448.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Good to have you with us, sharing a part of your day. For more info on the show, Bill Martinez Live or BillMartinezShow.com. Either one will get you to the right place, and all the information is right there. You know, evangelism and discipleship are in dire crises. If your eyes have been opened at all, I'm sure you would agree with that statement. It is a generational crisis. We're losing more of our children to the world than we're winning adult converts to faith in Christ, according to Dr. Rob Reno, who believes part of the challenge has to do with a diminishing Christian worldview. Our churches are offering more programming, yet we're making fewer true disciples. Dr. Reno, welcome back. Good to have you with us. How are you, sir?
Boy, thanks, Bill. Been looking forward to talking with you.
Well, you know, we've got serious problems here. You know, when we're not holding on to the kids, and the kids are, you know, though they may, you know, grow up in church and you know, as soon as they're away from home and they go to college, you know, according to Barna and Barna's studies, we're just not able to hold on to them. The culture is winning. What's going on?
Yeah, well, my first instinct when we look at those statistics and we see it in our churches is to say, well, oh my goodness, I mean, our churches need to get on this, right? I mean, we need to beef up Sunday school, we need to beef up youth group and Youth for Christ and all these wonderful ministries. But the reality is that our churches are doing more than ever in human history, in Christian history, to reach kids for Christ. This is not fundamentally, I think, a crisis of the church, it's a crisis of the family. It's a crisis of the home. What we saw at the end of the last century was an overwhelming pattern of what I'd call delegation parenting, where parents just dropped their kids off at Sunday school or youth group and really delegated the spiritual training of their kids to the church, just like they'd get them a coach or a piano teacher or something like that.
Or even going to school.
Right now.
Going to school, the same thing. You know, Dr. Yeah. Reno, right? I mean, we just, exactly. Yeah, we're just, hey, we need babysitters here, and then we're losing this generation.
Yeah, and this is a very personal conversation for me because, you know, it was 2004, my wife and I, we had been married 10 years, we had 4 children at the time, and I was a youth pastor for those first 10 years, and as a youth pastor, you know, my focus was passing my faith to other people's children. So I'm going to pray with other people's kids, read the Bible with other people's kids. We're going to do retreats and mission trips. We're going to do lock-ins. Bill, you remember lock-ins with junior high?
Oh, yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah.
It's a horrible idea, right? But we loved teenagers. We loved that ministry. But the problem was I was praying with other people's kids, and I was not praying with mine. I was reading the Bible with other people's kids. I wasn't reading the Bible with mine. And that summer, God brought me to such a place of brokenness and repentance and really turned my heart to the ministry of my family and convicted me that my life for Christ had to begin in my house.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the shoemaker's condition, you know. All the kids in town have shoes except the shoemaker. His kids are running around barefoot, right?
Right, right, exactly.
Yeah, wow. So here it is. God opens your eyes to this, and what do you do?
Well, the first thing was, again, personal before it was ministry and professional. The first thing that changed in our home is we started to practice what Christian history has called family worship. We started praying as a family and reading the Bible together as a family, and that came out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, where we find the great commandment to love God. Right. And then God calls parents and grandparents. He says, teach God's word diligently to your kids and talk about God's word when you sit at home. And boy, once the Holy Spirit convicted me that if I wanted to love him, that had to start with an open Bible in my home with my kids. I mean, so much of our family changed. Just being able to come to God together as a family. And it's not always easy. We have 7 kids. 2 of them are married, not of the house. Wow. We still have 5 still at home, ages 20 down to 8. So, you know, this is not like us with our white choir robes on and the light shining down from heaven. But just coming before God and sharing our prayer requests with each other and with him, and then reading his book together, having this, like, this spiritual meal. You know, Jesus says we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And I realized, like, as a dad, I was very faithful to feed my kids physically. Right? I want to make sure they have food on. But I was not being faithful to feed them spiritually. I wasn't being faithful to give them God's word in the house.
Yeah, the prayer of the Shema that you referred to from Deuteronomy is prayed several times a day in the Jewish culture as a reminder. I mean, it's amazing. Something like that, you see, so academic. Why do we need to pray that 3 times a day? Because we're so forgetful. And again, to kind of keep a check on ourselves that God is one. He is the only one. And that we are to pass on and talk about this in our comings and our goings, our sitting down, our lying down. It is supposed to be constantly in front of us. Now, here it is, like you said, painfully, I should say, is that you realize, okay, you got to do something about this. And the kids are used to a certain rhythm, and you say, look at time out. We're gonna shore this up. You know, God's given me a new vision, and we're gonna do this for the family. All in favor, aye. And you know, I'm sure you know it was a transition. And I want you know parents who are hearing this to say, well, that sounds great for Rob Reno, but you know he doesn't know my kids and how much of a challenge that's going to be, especially when you know we're down the road a little bit. And we realize, wow, you know, we've lost opportunity here. And how do you wrangle a teenager who has been used to having it their own way? And you're saying, you know, phones down. We're coming together as a family, and we're going to focus on God during this period of time. So tell our audience how that transitioned for you.
Sure. Well, it's never too late to start family worship. It's never too late to restart family worship. I think you ask a great question about teenagers. I've got 2 of them right now in my house. And for a lot of Christian families, when their kids are little, toddler and early elementary, they may build somewhat of a routine of prayer and Bible reading. Sometimes it's right before bed, right? A little prayer before bed, a little story Bible before bed. But as they hit junior high and high school, A, the schedules start to go crazy, but B, you also get the spiritual attack on the relationship, right? That teenager who just says, yeah, whatever, just is spiritually apathetic. So, you know, part of what I had to do is to come to my family and just open my heart to them and confess to them to say, look at this scripture that God has showed me from Deuteronomy 6, and I have not been a spiritual leader in this house. I haven't been leading us with prayer. I haven't been asking us to have our Bibles open. And I know God wants me to start, but I'll be honest with you, I'm feeling very nervous and insecure. I don't want to drive you guys crazy. And so let's just talk as a family. Can we talk right now about how you think we might be able to pray more together? How could we read God's word together as a family in a way that wouldn't drive you all crazy? And so you just open your heart in a humble way. And share the burden that the Lord has given you and ask for their help.
And it is a process. It didn't all go roses and rainbows, I'm sure. You had your moments where you say, thank you, God, and other moments where, hey, it's still there, but we stay the course, because you shared it with them in all humility, and you shared with them a vision that, hey, they could have said, Dad, you know, we think you're on some. We don't want to talk about it. You know, that cow is out of the barn. But you got buy-in from them. And we're going to talk more about this on the other side of the break. Stay with me.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Let's say your business does $10,000 to $15,000 or more monthly revenue. There are times when you need more cash flow to run your business, right? Well, if you're a business owner in this situation, you need to call the Merchant Funding Line. We don't play by bank rules. We're a direct lender with the power to approve deals. We look at your business and we decide how much money to lend you. Good credit or bad credit, even if your business was affected by the recent pandemic. If your business is solid, we can lend you up to $500,000 in one day. That's $500,000 in one day. Use the money for anything you think is right to run your business. If you need money, call now to learn how easy it is to get up to $500,000 in as little as one day. 800-296-1229. 800-296-1229. 800-296-1229. That's 800-296-1229.
Russian Independent, we are Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Guys, I feel your pain. I mean, you're hearing Dr. Rob Reno relate his story. he has that moment. And maybe you went to a Promise Keepers event or, you know, some other male event, and maybe in your church, and you said, gosh, I've got to be a better husband. I've got to be a better father. I've got to do this. And you come away with new inspiration and a desire to do something different. But sometimes it can be harder than we expected. And what Rob related to us in terms of his humbleness, you know, to come to his family, to admit, to say, hey, look at, you know, I've blown it. I read the Bible and I'm convicted here. God's word is convicting me. And first of all, I want to say I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I've not been the father or the husband that I should be for you. But I want it to be different. I want to follow God's word. And Rob, when you said that, you know, to the kids and to your family, what was their response?
Well, I'm grateful that they were soft-hearted and compassionate toward me. I think especially my wife. You know, Amy, I think like a lot of Christian wives, had been spiritually lonely, feeling like anything that was going to happen spiritually in the house was going to be on her shoulders because I was, you know, too busy being a Christian at work. And so for her to feel like we were partnering together now, that I was bringing some leadership and some energy and some, you know, passion from my heart, really meant the world to her. And it set our marriage on a new trajectory also.
Right. And how about, you know, for those men who, you know, I mean, you it sounded like, you know, for you, this went well for the most part. But for some guys who do that, you know, they go into their household and their hat's handed to them. No, that ain't the way it's happening. You know, Mama's been leading the store here, and Mama ain't going to give up the lead of the store. You know, that's fine that God's talked to you, and you have the Word of God here, but, you know, you run into resistance. And you are going to run into resistance. I mean, Jesus said himself that, but the fact of the matter is, and I reminded some men the other day about this, is that as males, as head of the household, you are given authority. It's God-given authority. And having done all to stand, you keep standing on that, right? And that is my bit of encouragement, you know, to the men, is that the family ultimately will come to understand that. But, you know, they're basically, maybe it's a little bit of a test. Like you said, you know, Amy and you, I mean, you've been doing this for a couple of years. So, okay, he sounds sincere, seems to be sincere, but, you know, we got to walk this out, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the vision we're talking about here, Bill, is not thou shalt be a perfect Christian so that right. Your kids and family are perfect Christians. That's nothing of what we're talking about. The question is, are we bumbling and stumbling forward in our own faith in the mercy and the grace of God and just inviting our kids to join us in that? And I think you're stressing this point of humility is so critical. And also the thing that needed to change in my life, you know, sometimes you'll hear, well, we just need, you know, a really good curriculum to take our kids through, or we just need some good, you know, tips and tricks on marriage or communicating with teenagers. Well, I really needed God to change my heart. And Bill, you might think this is a simplistic bit of advice, but I've challenged men around the world to do this, and I've seen the Holy Spirit do such incredible things. You know, you're focused on fathers here right now, and this applies to mothers too. But dads, for 10 seconds a day for the next month, 10 seconds a day for the next month, pray to the Lord and say, God, turn my heart to the ministry of my family. Turn my heart to the ministry of my family. In other words, God, make it the number one mission of my life to live for you in my house, to help my children safely home to you, their Father in heaven. If I'm a married man, help me to love my wife as Christ loved the church. Just turn my heart to my family, to the ministry of my family. If God would answer that prayer, and I think he would, you're going to have this spiritual endurance and this spiritual optimism and just the knowledge that God loves you so much, and so because of his love for you, you can step out in faith and fail and fall short, but keep pressing into this mission God's given you at home.
Wow. I love that. That's great. 10 seconds. Okay, guys, we're in, okay? 10 seconds a day. Make that your prayer. And let's see what happens. And you can send me an email and let me know how God has blessed you, how you're blessing your family, how things have turned around. That is powerful, powerful advice, Rob, and I appreciate you sharing that with us. We got about a little over 4 minutes left here. And in your book, Visionary Church, you say there are four key areas that we need to shore up. I'm going to let you summarize those, you know, to the degree it whets everybody's appetite so they go out and get a copy of your book and, you know, and that their vision and understanding of what God wants to do for his 21st century church, that they can get in step and in unity with what God's doing.
Right. Well, I know our time is short, but in this Visionary Church book, we're going to walk through some basic building blocks of getting the church and the family partnered together in the gospel. Because our tendency when we think about ministry is to think just about what happens in the church building or what happens through the church programs. But in fact, God has built the church and the home to partner together. And in fact, the strength of your local church is built on the strength of the family. So in this book, what we do is we walk through, the first section is just getting ourselves back grounded in the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Second, we're going to talk about the lost doctrine of jurisdiction, which is, hey, God created churches and families to do different things. And what are those different roles? So if parents are just going to drop their kids off at Sunday school and youth group and ask Sunday school and youth group to disciple them while they're not doing anything at home, that's a biblical violation of jurisdictions. It's going to end badly. Then we're going to talk about, well, what is the mission of the church? And what is the mission of the family? And how do those things go together then for advancing the gospel in our world?
Wow. It's about, I guess in a sense, you know, we're hearing a lot about the reset, right? We've got to hit the reset button. Of course, they talk about it in global terms. But I believe, and I've been saying, we need to return to first principles. This is a return to first principles that God has laid out for us. And if we follow those principles, it will go well for us, will it not?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, when you say first principles, I think about all the spiritual attacks coming against the church right now. They're almost all Genesis 1, 2, 3 attacks on the family. Manhood,
exactly.
Womanhood, marriage, sexuality, the parent-child relationship. All these are Genesis 1, 2, 3 issues. And so if God's people are serious, right, about advancing the kingdom, we're going to be serious about shoring up the home, shoring up marriage, strengthening parents. You know, Ephesians chapter 4 says the task of the church leaders is to equip the saints for works of ministry, right?
Right.
And ministry starts in your house. So Visionary Church, we teach pastors, we teach church leaders, how do you train parents to shepherd their kids? How do you equip marriages to thrive for Christ?
Well, and those are excellent questions, and questions that we should all ponder with intentionality. And, you know, going back, as you say, the attack on the first three chapters of Genesis, it's the truth of God. That's what it comes down to in a society that says truth is relative. And I said to the audience this morning, you have no idea how dangerous that idea of your truth is your truth, my truth is, and there's one truth and one truth only, and it is of God. And if you can't, that's one of the critical first principles, you know, that goes back into the garden. Did God really say? Yes, God said. He did say. And if you doubt that, well, then, you know, you're losing at the start, before the gun goes off for the race to begin. You're dead in your tracks, are you not?
Right. You said it exactly right. Getting back to the centrality of God's Word for everything, beginning in our house, this is the key to life in Christ and serving Him well.
Well, Dr. Rob Reno, we thank you for coming on and talking about Visionary Church. How can people be in touch with you?
Absolutely. Well, we would love to connect with your listeners through our website, visionaryfam.com. through our weekly podcast. Amy and I are in the podcast studio every week talking about faith and family. Our podcast is called Family Vision.
Nobody wants to get ripped off, broken into, or robbed, but nobody wants to pay a lot of money to have their home protected either.
I've got an offer to tell you about to provide home security for your home for less than a dollar a day. For real, with no installation or equipment charges. And this is from a company rated number one by a leading consumer research company. According to the facts, most of you won't even call unless there's a burglary in your neighborhood or something bad happened. So let's give you a reason. Save money. For less than a dollar a day with no other costs, you can get your home secured. Plus, get a lifetime equipment replacement warranty. You need protection for your home. Call the Home Security Hotline right now.
800-755-7921. 800-755-7921. 800-755-7921. That's 800-755-7921.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Violence, destruction, and indiscriminate killing of civilians by Russian soldiers against its Ukrainian neighbor has entered its 13th day. Ukraine President Zelensky continues to defy Russian aggression and holds firm in the capital of Kyiv.
Here is Kyiv in the evening. I stay here in Kyiv at Bankova Street. I don't hide and I'm not afraid of anyone. I will stay here as long as it's necessary to win in our patriotic war.
President Biden has come under growing pressure from Congress in Ukraine to sanction Russia's oil industry. He's hesitated due to concerns about rising energy prices in America. Now, President Biden will announce Tuesday that the United States will ban all imports of Russian oil, natural gas, and coal in response to Russia's deadly aggression.
I want us to send our love and hope to our brothers and sisters in Ukraine.
Dolly Parton at the CMA Awards last night in Las Vegas. USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
We trust defines our world for good or bad, says Abner Suarez. He's the author and evangelist. He's talking about his new book, Trust, God's Unseen Power to Change the World. Abner, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Hey, Bill. Thanks for having me on. Honored to be with your audience.
Well, so tell me about the book, how it came about, and you know, what does God want to do with your book?
Well, the book was really birthed out of my own life and then the birth of my ministry, and now coming into 20 years of ministry and not only experiencing believers who have trusted God maybe for salvation, at salvation, they trust God to go to heaven, but many believers miss the idea that Paul instructed us to walk by faith and not by sight, and that God's relationship with man was always supposed to be defined not by what man brought to the table, but what man was supposed to trust God to produce this brilliant life that would point people to Jesus as they express their faith in him in everyday life.
I think that's some of the challenge that people are faced with. They believe that it ends at the cross, and the cross is just the beginning, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. John wrote in his epistle, "Who is he who overcomes the world? He that believes," and then he tells us that it is our faith in God.
ability to overcome the world. And I'm not saying, obviously, believers don't have any problems, but it is our, I consider it a great privilege that we get to approach life differently than the unbeliever on the earth. So as Jesus taught us in the Sermon on the Mount, that men may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven.
Mm-hmm. And the challenge is that the good works that they see are good works that you yourself are not heralding. They it's a natural outflow, like Paul says. It's not about works. It's your faith will generate works, but it's not the other way around. It's not works generating faith, right?
Exactly right. Yeah, exactly. Faith is a gift that God gives to every believer. Now, here is the part, though, where we have responsibility. God gives us the choice, even after we are born again, of whether or not we will develop that measure of faith that he gives us. And we develop it through primarily beginning with fellowship with him, identifying hindrances in our mindset. Just like you start off, our trust, what we're trusting, everybody in the world is trusting something. We're trusting something every day. The question, I believe, for believers is, are we trusting the Word of God, God's view of reality, what He has said to be true, and is that demonstrated in our behavior? Because our belief always brings about a demonstration in our behavior and then in our actions. So that's where the rubber meets the road for every believer, I believe, every day.
I think so, Abner. What you're saying reminds me of a story of a dear friend of mine. He was fond of sharing this with people. He talked about a high wire act, and this guy is going to, on a high wire across the Grand Canyon. He is going to walk on this high wire. And the people are there cheering him on and everything. And he asked him, he says, "Do you believe I can do it?" And one guy says, "Yeah, I believe you can do it." Now, what he was going to do was he was going to walk this high wire act as he is holding a barrel, like a barrel on wheels, and he was going to take this this barrel across this high wire act. And the guy says, "Yeah, I believe you can do it." And the guy says, "Well, get in."
Yeah. There's an exchange that even years later that I'm still meditating on in the Gospels, and it's that they asked Jesus, "What do we need to do to do the works of God?" And he said, "This is the work of God." He doesn't say, "Here's the five steps to do miracles. Here's the five steps to change the world." He says, "This is the work of God that you believe." And so I think that a lot of times there's a disconnect, especially in a Western mind, Greek mind, where many believers don't realize that their belief system is actually defining their behavior. And
exactly.
So that's the great joy of the Christian life, to actually choose to trust God. And I find that the lie is that somehow we're losing freedom when we're trusting God, when in all actuality it is where we find our greatest freedom. And because he tells us without faith it's impossible to please us, to please him. And the reason he tells us that is because he has taken responsibility for every part of our life before we ever came to earth. And he gives us this privilege of choosing every day if we're going to trust the resources that he's made available to us before the foundation of the world.
Exactly. Abner, is there a difference between belief and trust?
No. Biblically speaking, and I actually explain this in the book, there are two interchangeable terms. So you can actually say in Hebrews, a fair translation of Hebrews 6, 11, without trust, it's impossible to please God.
So you're actually, without faith, it's impossible. So you've actually exchanged faith with trust and belief, because belief, the Bible says, well, even Satan believes in God. But there's something, I think, more definitive when faith is enacted, when trust is enacted, right? I would think.
Yeah, is that fair? I think that, faith and trust are two interchangeable terms. I think sometimes the struggle, and I don't know if this is exactly what you're referring to, is that there's a difference between, and I think your story illustrated it beautifully, there's a difference between agreeing something is true. I can agree that Jesus Christ walked the earth, was the greatest teacher ever, died on a cross. I can agree that might be true. There's mm-hmm. a difference between agreeing that's true intellectually and actually putting my faith in it. And
exactly.
Bring my life to that principle. Yeah. So that, I think that's a great point. And that's in any area of life. I can agree that God might do a miracle in my life. Whether I trust that to be true are two different things.
And when we unlock these principles, what does this do in terms of our faith and really expanding it and taking our faith walk to the next level?
On a day-to-day basis, I think it frees you from being it frees us, especially in this cultural context, from being the center of our reality. Anytime I feel overwhelmed, anytime I feel like, hey, what am I going to do about this? It's usually because I've put myself in the center of that equation. My job as a believer is every day is to believe what God has said, obey within the context of the relationship of what he said, and then it's God's job to bring it to pass. And I believe that's why Jesus taught us his yoke is easy and his burden is light. He didn't say we had an easy life, but the believing life is the life of peace and rest in him, and then a demonstration of what could only be credited to God in our life, like the Joseph life. Joseph could not fulfill the dream of God over his life unless God would bring it to pass.
Exactly. You know, I love the way you frame this. You know, what we trust defines our world for good or bad. You know, it's like that conversation, and I use this repeatedly because I think it's so powerful, and it screams at us through the millennia, and that conversation between, you know, God and Cain after his worship was not accepted, his offering was not accepted by God, and basically he made it real simple. He says, if you do right, will it not go well for you? I mean, you know, it's, you're going to reap what you sow. Everything is right there. But if you do right, it's not right by man's terms. It's right by God's terms, right? And that's what you're talking about.
Correct.
We trust. And what we trust, if it's God-centric, that's what we want to define our world and our lives and our families, right?
Exactly right. We want to...
Abner Suarez, you're awesome. Thank you. God bless.
Do you love driving, but you hate your expensive car payment? Open Road Lending can reduce your current car payment by as much as $100 a month or more. Yes, it's easy to refinance your current car payment and save up to $100 a month. Could you use an extra $100 a month? Then make this call to Open Road Lending today to learn how you can lower your current car payment. It's easy, only takes a few minutes, and there's no cost or obligation to apply and get approved. You can do it all from the comfort of your home. Call today and see how much you can save.
800-511-6223. 800-511-6223. That's 800-511-6223. Call now. 800-511-6223.
Terms and conditions apply. Financing is available with approved credit. See openroadlending.com for details.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your health care costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer
offer you wonderful money-saving benefits. But you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Right here, right now. Martinez.
That's a lyric and song for all of us, huh? Sometimes when we're struggling, it's maybe we just haven't seen it. You know, we're kind of like Abraham as he's going up the mount to Mount Moriah to offer his son as a sacrifice. And he's thinking, okay, he trusts God. His faith is such that he's willing to put his son on the altar as a sacrifice to God. But he doesn't see the provision yet. And it wasn't until that moment where God opens his eyes and he sees the provision, which is that ram caught in the thicket. And he realizes that there is a magnificent dimension to the name of God as Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides. And there it is. And again, we're reminded when Jesus went to the cross for all of us, he provided for us in a grand, most spectacular sort of way. Aaron Taylor joins us now. He's a pastor and author. His book, Do You Love Me? Experiencing and Extending Tremendous Love. Aaron, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Great to be with you today.
Well, Aaron, you know, there is a part of the Bible that I think it drives most Christians a bit bonkers. And that's when, you know, Jesus says he's died, he's resurrected. Even before he dies, he tells Peter, hey, you're going to deny me. Oh, no, I'm going to die with you. No, you're going to, well, you're you know, bless your heart, but you're going to say you don't even know me. In fact, three times you're going to deny me. And so, of course, when Peter realizes what Jesus told him was true, he was devastated. He said, well, how could I do this to my friend? How can I do this? And Jesus is resurrected. And the apostles, including Peter, are out there just, you know, they've lost Jesus. And they go back to what they know. They go back to their nets. And they're out there fishing. And somebody says, hey, isn't that Jesus out there? you know, doing a little barbecue. He's got a shrimp on the barbie for you there, Peter. And Peter just, man, he's out across the water. Whether he could walk on the water or not, it probably felt like maybe he wanted to. He goes flying to Jesus. And Jesus asked him three times, says, do you love me? And he said, well, yeah, Lord, I love you. No, do you, and it's almost like, do you really love me? You know, and he asked him that three times. And it drives us Christians because we're saying, okay, there's something, I think, very powerful in that experience. And there's something more than Jesus asking him three times. There's something just hugely significant about that exchange besides, you know, a fish fry. And, you know, a moment of reconciliation between Peter and Jesus. What do you think?
That, you know, a number of years ago, I had preached the message many times. And most people, most scholars, most commentaries will just say, you know, Peter felt really bad. He'd done the wrong thing over and over. He stripped down to his loincloth and went fishing and took others with him afterwards. He wasn't the man of faith he should be. And that's usually the way that people go at that. And, you know, I was studying it as I was for a pastor multiple times. It was something I was going to preach on. And some things really opened up, and it really changed. As I began to look in the Greek, it's not the same word. So what happens is that he says, do you agape me? Complete unconditional love. And he says it twice. Well, he says it first time. Peter responds with it, I phileo you. Well, agape means complete unconditional love, and then phileo means if you're good to me, I'll be good to you.
Oh.
And so Jesus says, do you completely, unconditionally, expecting nothing in return, do you love me? And Peter says, I love you because you love me. Now, when we look at that, so I ask people, I said, do you, Jesus told us, hey, unconditionally, would you agape me? Would you completely love me unconditionally? And if I asked you, do you love God like that? Most of us raise our hands and say, yes, I unconditionally love God. But then when we look at love for what it really is, we begin to look at love, agape love, as defined by Jesus. And that says, did you love me first? Did you love Jesus first? The answer is no. He loved
no,
me. Did you love him when he denied you and spit on you and had no use for you? Well, he's never done that. Well, did you love God when he had nothing to offer you? No, because before you were even born, he provided salvation and love and care for you. No matter where you're at, and I've been in the worst areas of the world and the best. And I'm telling you, God has always had thing. He's always provided for us if we accept him. So I believe Peter, you know, unlike most scholars, and this is what my book's about, I believe Peter literally went, I can't say I agape you. I didn't love you first. How can I say that you've rejected me, you've done nothing but love me, and you've provided for me? And how could I expect nothing from you? You've already given me so much. I am simply responding to your love. And then Jesus says these incredible words, Peter, go feed my sheep. Now we think, oh, it's because he's a disciple. No, no. What Jesus was saying was, go love somebody first.
Mm-hmm.
Go love somebody first.
Go do as I've done.
Who doesn't deserve it. Go love somebody who can give you absolutely nothing in return. And when you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you're loving me. He was showing Peter how to love him, how to show that love. And so really that so changed the dynamics of my church, which, you know, I've always been a kind, giving church, but maybe not always for the right reasons. And it changed my marriage. I began to realize that I phileo. I love my wife because she loves me. But what if she didn't love me? I began to realize that I was drawing from my wife to find the love I needed for her instead of drawing from Christ to find the love. love I needed for my wife and for others and for my church people. I was looking for people to be good church people to join my church. Instead of looking for people like Jesus went out and looked for people. And so that's what the book is about. It delves into all kinds of different areas, because once you get that understanding of love, then everywhere Jesus talks about love looks different.
Exactly.
It's so
countercultural, and that's the thing that people need to be aware of. And this is what Peter was dealing, and Jesus was exposing, is that really you're looking at love, phileo love, through a human transaction as a consumer. Even then, you know, it was like, okay, what can it do for me, right?
And I get it. It's natural to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But God's asked us to do something supernatural. I mean, he wants us to love supernaturally. And then here's, I think, almost everyone, because we're so self-protected, we say, well, but if I love like that, I just run out. And yet, when we realize that when we start to draw what we need in the area of love, when we begin to draw from Christ, it begins to change. And it changed our church. One of the chapters of my book is How to Wreck a Good Church. We had a great church, great people, things were going good. I mean, it was a wonderful thing, wonderful place. And I began to be challenged that we're picking and choosing who we love to make our environment what we want it to be. And we started, instead of feeding across the town, we began to bring people in and feed them. It changed the whole dynamics of our life.
Well, you really mess people up, man, because all of a sudden that person that smells is in my seat, in the pew.
He's next to me.
How dare you?
Well, yep.
I don't like
that
this.
That didn't help.
Yeah.
But you know what? God has found other ways to provide for our ministry. We lost some people. And it may not be the book you're like, wow, how to build a church. Yes, it's how to build a church. It's how to build the church, not a church.
Exactly.
It's how to build his church. It's what he wants his church to look like. You know, people like to constantly always say, well, if Jesus came back, what would church look like today? I hope we're getting closer by the day by just loving people who need Jesus. Instead of trying to make Jesus into what we want people to love.
Aaron, did you find when you are following God's prescription and the Holy Spirit is loving through you? I mean, some people, like you said, would hesitate, say, well, I don't have enough gas in my tank. I don't know that I can do that. Well, God knows you can't do that. But that's why if we're agaping God, it's the power of God through us to do the supernatural, right? And guess what? If you do that, you don't have to worry about $8 a gallon of gas, because God's taking care of all that.
That's the thing, is it can't be that I just muster up the love I need, that I don't really like this person, but I'm going to love him. That's not it. It's that I have to receive it to give it. I've got to learn to receive from the Lord. When I learn to get love from him, I got an unending supply to give. And as I give, it's self-perpetuating. Because as I give, if I do it as unto the Lord, I begin to increase what I receive from the Lord. You know, we like to do the, you know, give.
About 20 seconds left. Go ahead.
You know, we love to do the give to get. If there's not a better give to get. When you give in love, you receive more from God. It's been great talking to you.
Hey, you're awesome. Thank you so much. Aaron Taylor, he's the author and pastor. His book, Do You Love Me? Experiencing and Extending Tremendous Love. It'll be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Aaron, God bless. Look forward to seeing you face-to-face, buddy. Take care. God bless.
All right. See you tomorrow.
You got it.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
G'day, I'm Jamil.